This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
I recently found out that you can see a personal dietitian covered by insurance. There's this platform called Nourish that will match you with a dietitian based on whatever your concerns are, whether that's weight loss, eating disorders, autoimmune conditions, or something else. They're actually a network with major insurance providers, so most patients pay $0 out of pocket. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show, 207 on a Thursday afternoon. It's February 27th. It's almost March. It's almost Christmas.
Oh. How long till the next election?
Oh, man.
You know what? I am out of countdowns except for one. I've got one countdown. It's the Hawaii countdown.
Okay.
And that is 92 days. I have really thought about putting the next election on and also putting one on that is from Inauguration Day so I could be like, he's been in office for X amount of days.
That's a good one. Although we don't really want another election. We're okay with this. I shouldn't say we don't want another election. Right.
This many days left of Donald Trump.
Yeah.
I don't want to count that down.
Yeah, I don't either.
Not yet. So I don't have a lot going on. I thought about counting down till the kids' last day of school, but that just makes it go faster. I don't like that.
You want them to stay in school?
I just want them to stay little.
I think it's a good message, though. Kids, stay in school.
I'm like, drop out and live with your mother.
And I'm wanting to end elections.
Yeah. Our YouTube poll for today, we haven't really talked about this a whole lot. And I want to get your thoughts on this because I think it's something that is important for us to not, you know, there's so much winning, you're going to get tired of winning. Winning, 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 winning. And then you're like, oh, you forget that all of these things have consequences. One of the things, well, first of all, let me say that the YouTube live chat poll for today, if you go to the Annie Fry YouTube channel, youtube.com/@AnnieFry, we broadcast live there every day, 3-hour show. And lately we've been, has that been going okay afterwards? Do you leave it up and people are chatting?
Yeah. I'll leave it up and we'll run a previous interview that we did, usually the day before, if not maybe a couple days before, something that's timely and fun.
Or sometimes Ryan's Greatest Hits.
Yeah. We had about 60 people just stay around and chat on YouTube.
Yeah. And you never know. There could be an appearance.
Mm-hmm.
Just the chat and one of the three of us, possibly. So if you're on the YouTube chat, you can stay for OTAF.
Here's what you should do. If you ever get to interview the president, do it in overtime.
Do it in overtime for those 60 people.
Yeah, but don't tell anybody it's coming either.
Yeah, that's how Steve fires me. You can go into the YouTube chat and there's a live chat poll. The poll is located in the live chat, which is the ergo live chat poll. Are conservatives being too insensitive regarding Doge cuts? Yes or no? I want to harken back to conversations we had maybe even before the election, possibly. Time's moving so quickly. Remember when he was like, there are 426 agencies in government. We think we can get it down to 99. And we had the discussion on the air. How much cutting can take place before any of us are like, that one hit me? How much can be just taken right off the top before it personally affects us in some capacity? Even if it's not like your individual family unit, but maybe a sibling or a cousin or something, and you know they were directly impacted by it. We are starting to get to the place. I don't have anybody in my family that's been affected, but I do know people who they're certainly back in the office and they've been working for home for years since COVID, essentially. I know people who are trying to peek around the corner to make sure their job is okay, which, as we said yesterday, that's what radio is every day, even on a good day.
That's what a lot of jobs are.
Correct. But if we're going cut, 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 which I still kind of am, I want all the fat trimmed. This is still going to hit real people in a real impactful way. Do conservatives need to be more mindful about how we talk about it? The YouTube poll is, are conservatives being too insensitive regarding those Doge cuts?
No, not at all. In fact, this was the purpose why you voted for Donald Trump, at least one of the purposes.
Well,
I get it.
You have to understand, and I'm clarifying this for the listener, that I'm not talking about, like, should Elon Musk tap the brakes. That's not what I'm saying. It's how you talk about it. Do you have your party hat on every time you're discussing, oh, no, it's another 25 million? And then I saw in the KMOV maybe post, four different agencies, we've lost about $1 million in investment here in St. Louis.
I know the right thing to say, which is, hey, you know, we really feel for everybody who's losing their jobs. And that's true. That's the media sensitive thing to say. And that, I'm not even saying I don't feel that way. If I know somebody, especially, so far that has not happened. If I know somebody who loses their job because of government cuts, I'm going to feel bad for that person. I also will remind myself in that moment, again, I'll remind myself over and over throughout this entire 4 years, we are $36 trillion in debt. These things have to happen. There's going to be collateral damage. Companies do this all the time. You just happen to work for the government where it doesn't ever happen, and it's happening to you now. So I do feel bad because anytime anybody anywhere is in a situation where bad things have happened to them, I feel bad for them. However, the overall mission is way, way too important to be tapping the brakes, like you said. You've got to keep going.
But that's not the question.
Well, I think I'm answering it, aren't I?
You're saying the mission is worthy, and so you would say no.
I would say the mission is so worthy that being insensitive is not even part of the conversation. That you have to do this, and you have to keep talking about it in the way that we're talking about it.
Brad?
Man, this question is really hard to ask because it's really dependent on what kind of people are being cut and what kind of people are losing their job. If you're a public servant and you've worked really hard at your job and you're working for the government and your position just happens to fall under one of the umbrellas that is being chopped and being cut, then yeah, I would say toward you, conservative people are being a little bit insensitive. However, if you're one of those people who isn't really working, you got the job because you knew it would be cushy, you'd have really good job security, you put in minimal effort. If you're one of the people that's complaining about five bullet points of what you did last week and you can't come up with five things, then no, I don't feel bad for you. So overall, it's really hard to answer this question because I don't know which people make up the majority. Are the majority of people who work in government who are being laid off by Doge, are they the hardworking people that are there trying to be public servants, putting in their 40 hours a week, 80 hours every 2 weeks, doing everything that they can to do their job with full fervor? I would feel really bad that you lost your job, and I would want to get you back into another position so that you can continue to actually work hard for the institution for which you work. But I don't know how many are that person and how many are the other kind of person. And so I'm going to say, until I get more evidence, I'm just going to say no. I don't think we're being too insensitive.
My answer to this question is broader than the question, but I think that conservatives are often too insensitive. Because you can be right, and you can be righteous in what you are advocating for. I don't think that conservatives are, it's difficult because conservatives have been too nice for a long time, but they've been too nice to the thing they should have pushed back against. And there is a real difference between, you know, someone telling you that there are an innumerable amount of genders and you going, but, you know, it's just man and woman. There's just male and female. I internally know this. I'm just not going to say anything because am I going to win this argument? Am I going to hurt this person's feelings? Conservatives have for 15 years been like, I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. And look where we are. Look what keeping our mouth shut has gotten us. So I feel like pushing back on those things are, we need to do more of that. My encouragement would be that we need to be very focused on what the mission is, what success looks like, and understanding that how we react to succeeding in those missions does matter when it comes to bringing people in. You can be gracious in victory. You can be gracious in defeat. You can be both of those things. You can be humble and you can still understand that this is what we want without having to be thoughtless in the way that you talk about, you know, every government cut, every person who loses their job because of DOGE is not the same. Conversely, I think I could go back to when Jen Psaki was talking at a podium when Joe Biden was losing all of those jobs of people who worked in oil fields because he decided that we didn't need any of that energy from our own country. And they said, go work in green jobs. And even before that, go learn to code. So it's a tough question to answer because I don't think that all conservatives are being too insensitive. I do think that some conservatives are being too insensitive. But those people who are kind of mouths for the movement, that's just kind of the way they market themselves. They're constantly looking to dunk the ball. You're up by 30 and you get a dunk, you're still dunking the ball. That's not really my style to begin with. I think that kindness is always in too rare form. I don't think on the whole that I'm seeing conservatives being insensitive on this issue, but I would use it as an opportunity to encourage you to think about what you're putting where and knowing that this is probably hitting somebody in your orbit that you don't realize it's hitting. So just consider what you post, saying it to somebody in your life that you do care about, that probably voted the same way that you did, but is also on the wrong end of this. There's so many. Listen, in radio, there are so many reasons that we could not be on the air tomorrow. There are so many things that could happen to us that could not be on the air tomorrow. And if that were to happen, somebody's got to think it's for the greater good of something somewhere, whether I agree with it or not. That's a reality that I live under. I mean, the radio industry is a pretty ever-changing type of landscape. So we function under that type of stress and you have to plan for it and everything. But if another radio show came on here and was really successful in 6 months, I can't pay bills on hoping people feel sorry for me for 6 months. Mm-hmm. I would have to go do something. There, I would have to figure out, what does God have in store for me next? Will I trust God in this moment to level me up in the midst of some temporary suffering? That is great advice that sucks to hear when you're in the midst of suffering.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, and that's not
unfair to say. Just trust God, man. Just trust. God's got something in store for you. Thank you.
Well, it's just that moment when you're the one who's getting it. I don't know about you guys. I've been cut from jobs before, mm-hmm. and I understood. I hated it, but I understood the larger picture. If the company wasn't making money, and I was costing money that I wasn't bringing back in, I'm a liability. That's the way it works. Government is just insulated from that because it's so dang big, and they take your money forcibly, so you don't have a choice in funding it, other than elections, which we're dealing with now. But I think there are a lot of private sector workers who are hearing public sector workers' stories and saying, oh, you're fired. I understand that because I've been there.
Mm-hmm.
I got a text yesterday when we were talking about this subject from somebody who says, look, and this is not an uncompassionate person. He's just saying, look, no one felt sorry for me when I was laid off several times, lost my pension, and eventually was forced into retirement. Welcome to the real world, government workers. This is just the way it is. And you've been insulated from it.
Yeah. It's, you know, I'm going to probably vote no in this poll, and I'm going to just remind everybody, but myself first, that anytime we're talking about this, I know that you're sitting here listening to me right now, and I know that this is affecting you, and you don't want to hear people who agree with you on the majority of things laughing about your circumstances. So I can be, I'm not telling anybody else what to do, but I can be mindful of that. And I can also say, if they feel like this is what needs to happen in order to get us into a fiscally solvent place as a country, how do we make sure that Donald Trump said this too at one point a week or two ago. He's like, I hope that a lot of these people, I think Elon and Vivek said this too, I hope a lot of these people get out of the government work and find themselves in even better situations mm-hmm. after the fact. It's a possibility.
Yes.
So I just think it's important to think about it. We have to think about all of the. There are times I have said things on the air, and I didn't. I don't know many people who think more about what they say than I do. I'm self-critical. I'm very analytical. I talk for 3 hours every day. I am going to blow it from time to time. And there have been instances where I have done something or said something where someone has said, "Hey, Annie." And then they explain why what I said. And like sometimes from the moment they start saying it, I'm like, oh my gosh, I did not intend that. And I apologize. And I learn from it. I welcome that criticism. I have to have thick skin. And I have to also have an open mind that what we do and say here, it's consumed by people walking all different kinds of life. And that matters to me. And it's never my intention on this show to personally ostracize anyone. I want to hold the right people accountable, hold their feet to the fire. I want to have fun informing you. I want to have fun hanging out with my friends, Brad and Ryan and Ethan, and you. So it's never, of course, never our intention to hurt feelings. But I always think that we do need to be thinking about our sensitivities towards real people experiencing real things at the hands of the government who has allowed this to get out of control.
I just think the media is framing this. And people are sometimes framing this argument as, well, we could trim things down and be a little more efficient, yes. Or we could have just left them alone. And yeah, it would have been a little bloated, but people's lives wouldn't have been interrupted. That's not the two options.
Mm-mm.
The two options are, we either trim this down now, or we go into a financial death spiral as a nation. Like, that's the severity of the financial situation that we're in. So when you hear people who are really passionate about this issue, it's because they're concerned about their kids and their grandkids and the future of the entire nation and the free world because of the financial situation that we're in.
Jackie on YouTube says, Musk mocked Americans on stage holding a chainsaw. Republican leaders have no answers for their constituents at town hall meetings, and Republican leaders are laughing at Americans on Fox News. See, the thing is, Jackie, you think that's all being done to the American people? It's really being done for the American people. It's just a matter of perspective. Quick break. We're going to be back with Annie, are you okay? Trisha's going to join us in studio, and we'll get the results to today's YouTube live chat poll at about 2:55 with Ethan in studio. You got to get your vote in first, though, and you can leave your comments. And like Jackie, we might feature yours as well. We'll be right back.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them.
Value Surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme. From serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now it's time to play Is Annie Okay With This?
Hello, Trisha.
Hello, Annie and crew.
It's the start of my weekend. Woo! Here
Hello,
we go.
Newman.
You should have seen the eye contact that was made in this room when Hey Mickey starts playing. Is that what it's called?
We all looked at each other like the other one was going to make a witty comment, and nobody said
we didn't.
Anything.
We just broke into dance.
We just danced a little bit with our shoulders.
Yeah, we didn't want to outdo one another.
Right.
So what do we got, Trisha?
Well, it's Annie. Are you okay? So, Colombian police catch a man smuggling packets of cocaine under toupee.
Oh, I saw these pictures.
Yeah, they're weird.
It was repulsive.
The suspect was detained at a Colombian airport earlier this week as he prepared to board a flight to Amsterdam. A scanner revealed 220 grams of cocaine with a street value of about $10,000 strategically placed under said toupee.
Cocaine in Colombia, huh?
Is the only reason you do this is to go sell it? Or do you... Is that like a lot of cocaine for one person?
I don't know. $10,000 doesn't seem like a huge gamble to, like, it's not a big payoff to do it on a plane. You'd think you'd go a little bigger.
Yeah, it sounds like in Colombia they talk people into smuggling, saying it's safe, that they're not going to get caught when they stick it in their hat. So my guess is somebody was trying to sell it. This guy was a mule of some sort.
He thought, 10 grand, that'll be easy.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen the video of them peeling his toupee off.
Ooh, I haven't seen it.
And like,
is it
revealing?
Is it sewed onto his head?
It's just so awful. It's so awful.
I didn't realize it was a toupee at first.
Mm-hmm.
It's that
like you're scalping him.
Kind of.
Oh, gross. Yeah. Is it all bloody?
No.
No.
If it's sewed in, you know.
No. Trisha?
What? Are you okay?
Please.
Am I okay with cocaine? Oh.
Are you okay with cocaine?
No.
Are you okay with costumes?
Is that how he tried to swing it?
I am okay with smuggling food and drink into the movie theater.
Ooh.
In my toupee. I just put hold the toupee. like a purse. It's gross looking. Like, I'm
is that lady
that.
Holding a ball of hair?
Don't
yeah,
worry
let's
about
just
it.
Leave her alone.
This is gross. Away. She looks crazy. I'd leave her be. what costumes? Yeah. Not really.
No. did the toupee match his hair, or did it look like Max Headroom or something?
It looked like he didn't really. The pictures I saw, it was very distracting, but it didn't look like he had much hair under there. It's
well,
gross.
He's covering up baldness. That's why you have him.
I don't know that
toupee.
He was. He still had some.
But.
No, he didn't have it for that. He had it so he could smuggle cocaine.
Oh, you mean he wore a toupee and he doesn't usually wear a toupee?
We didn't ask him. Costumes.
For all we
costumes.
Know, he could just be a guy that's a little bit self-conscious about having some hair thinning
and
issues.
And people knowing he's carrying cocaine. Do you?
I didn't know it was in there.
Yeah, maybe he's just self-conscious about cocaine.
I think that you can grow out of costumes. I think you should grow out of costumes.
Mm-hmm. Unless it's Halloween on the Annie Fry Show.
I don't, that's not for me. That's not done for me. I do it for the people, which is even weirder.
Ethan was Popeye. I think he should answer this question.
Yeah, I got to be Urkel.
Yeah. But
why, because I'm Popeye, do I have to answer the question?
Nothing in particular. I just wanted to get you a little mic time.
That's so nice of you.
You're welcome.
Nice that we didn't answer the question. Next.
Prosecutors.
That's what
we do. Prosecutors say golden toilet was stolen from English palace in audacious raid. A one-of-a-kind 18-karat gold toilet was swiped in under 5 minutes from Blenheim Palace, where British wartime leader Winston Churchill was born. The toilet weighed 215 pounds and was valued at $3.5 million. Three men are currently on trial.
That's a throne.
What's the question?
Are you okay with gold toilets?
Because I got a golden toilet.
what's the question? I don't know.
Johnny Duncan original. Story.
Yeah. Wasn't the didn't Donald Trump have golden toilets in his apartment, his penthouse in New York or whatever?
This is interesting. The piece, it's actually an art piece. It had previously been on display at the Guggenheim Museum in New York.
Say it again.
The Guggenheim?
Guggenheim. Yeah, you say it like that.
The museum had offered the work to U.S. President Donald Trump during his first term in office after he had asked to borrow a Van Gogh painting. So he must have gone to the museum and said, hey, can I get a Van Gogh? And they're like, hey, how about a toilet?
Do you guys know that Pablo Picasso died in 1973?
No, but that seems really recent.
Don't you feel like he should have died in 1573? Mm-hmm.
Craziest part is that was still like over 50 years ago.
You shut your mouth.
Ooh, damn. Counterpoint. Nice.
You're rude. Ethan's like, that is ancient history. What are you talking about? Gosh. Go produce some things. Get out of here.
Yeah.
Go think about what you've done.
Just stand in the corner over there with your nose.
Go watch Bluey.
Bluey's so good.
To answer your question, I'd feel weird pooping in that.
Yeah. No, you wouldn't. You would love it.
No, I would not. It's
gold. What if I had a bidet?
If it had a bidet, I'd feel better about it. I would still feel weird. Made of gold. I'm going to poop on that.
Thanks. Is the entire interior made of gold as well? Or just
solid gold.
Was Trump asking for things he could go to the bathroom on? And
how
they were
can
like,
you tell
no,
if somebody
not a,
left
not a Van Gogh.
Behind?
They're like, here, take this toilet, though.
A couple had to sit next to a dead body for hours on Qatar Airways flight. This is a terrible story. The couple was traveling from Melbourne en route to Italy.
Thanks for the clarification.
When a woman walked out of the bathroom and collapsed near the row. Tragically, she did not make it. The pair, who were the only ones in a row of four, said flight attendants put the woman in one of the spare seats for the remaining 4 hours of the flight and did not offer to move them. Mm-hmm. They also claim they were instructed to stay put while medical teams removed blankets covering the women after landing. Annie, are you okay with middle seats on airplanes?
Let's first talk about the dead body.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I saw the story and I read a little bit about it, and that's outrageous. If you were the person sitting in there, no. But what are they supposed to do? Mm-hmm. And I thought about this for a little bit of time. Like, what are your alternatives? You could put them... In the only other thing I could think of is you put it in one of the bathrooms.
Bathroom, cargo hold.
I don't think you can get into the cargo hold from inside
it's
of the flying plane.
Bin.
Were they over water? Like, was it impossible
what are you
for them?
Thinking?
Was it impossible for them to go and land?
Oh. Okay.
They were 10 hours into a 14-hour flight, so I
did you guys think I was talking about just dumping it?
Yes.
No.
No.
Ethan,
that's
terrible.
And flush.
That's how that works, isn't it?
People. What do you think of me?
What?
Holy cow.
Dumbest.
We're about to think a lot less of you.
Why couldn't you have just landed?
If that's your loved one, you have to think, like, I'm thinking to myself, if it's me or if it's my loved one and they're stuck on the airplane next to a dead body, that's not acceptable. But if it's your loved one and they're like, they put her in the bathroom, how do you feel about that? So you have a situation in my mind where you have to think about, like, what's the least offensive to the most people? And I really think that putting them in a bathroom in a way that is...
You're going to get a lawsuit regardless.
Well, I mean...
The airline's going to get it.
How can they get a lawsuit? Unless they did something negligent that caused her death, you have to do something.
I think the family, though, would say exactly what you're saying. Like, oh, how could they put my loved one in a bathroom?
I know that, but I think that when you say the alternative is that you sit them next to some people in a chair next to him, I don't think that that's appropriate either.
I don't either.
So I feel like there needs to be, like, a judge would have to look at that situation and say, you know, given the possibilities of what could be done here, you can't stow him. You can't put him up.
Cockpit.
That literally was something that...
Pilot's goggles. Make a thing out of it.
Like airplane. Yeah.
Leather hat.
No. Yeah. But I even thought about that. But that, you can't, if you put a, what if the body's not actually dead? Like, what if something happens? Those people need to be, especially in the world of, like, terrorism and stuff like that. If you could make yourself appear to be dead, if you could... lower your pulse, your breathing, or something like that, and then get yourself put in the cockpit, and then you come back, and then you do something terrible. That's a lawsuit.
So, like, after 4 hours, the person goes, "Wow, what a nap!" You're like, "Oh man, I'm glad we didn't put that person
you
in the bathroom."
Even have to take control of the flight.
I just think that you have such limited options of what you can do in that instance that you have to do the thing that offends the least amount of people, and I don't think that sitting that person in that chair next to passengers is the right thing to do. I don't. If I were those people on that flight, I would be asking for some serious airline points.
Yeah.
I just can't believe you guys actually thought that I was suggesting dumping them into the ocean.
We didn't know what you were suggesting.
We thought you were kind enough to say, well, if it's over land, that would be inappropriate.
We're still mad at you for the 1973 point. What was the question? I didn't even answer the question yet. Calm
down. Sorry.
I asked if you were okay with middle seats on airplanes.
No. Now then. Thank you.
Chinese company withdraws notice setting deadline for single workers to get married.
What?
A notice went out at the Shuntian Chemical Group warning single employees between the ages of 28 and 58 to, quote, resolve your personal marriage issues or, quote, the company will terminate your labor contract.
Where is this?
In China.
This is not American?
This is
I'm
not
shocked.
American.
Okay.
They should just
Chinese.
Start marrying their employees off.
The announcement came amid the Chinese government's ongoing push to encourage younger generations to get married and have children in order to counter the country's declining birth rate. But even in China, this violated Chinese labor law. And
are
so
there
the
still limits on
back.
How many kids you can have in China? Is that done?
I don't think there are anymore.
It sounds like if it is, they could solve their problem the other way.
Unless they pair like a 58-year-old with a 26-year-old.
What, like Belichick?
That's
even worse. He's like 70-something.
Yeah, I'm going to go
like
ahead
a 50-year
and write
difference.
That down as the name of the hour.
No, nobody listens to our show to hear about Belichick. You titled the things that you find the most humorous. But we've talked about other things
this
hour.
What is the actual title,
hey,
Ryan?
Hey, we want clickbait titles, Ryan. Let's
hour
go.
Hour three, like Belichick.
No.
Be like Bill.
Annie, are you okay with companies inquiring about employees' personal lives?
No, it's none of their business. Mind your business.
You know I tell my bosses everything anyway.
That's
so.
The difference between inquiring. They're not asking you, but you are still telling.
Mm-hmm. Steve.
That's why
I went sledding today.
That's why we don't see Steve around the office.
Yeah, have you noticed he's been gone for 3 weeks?
Steve,
it's
just, Florida.
It's really about you.
Steve, I pooped in a gold toilet today.
That was gross, Ethan.
That's what you said.
Ew.
I was quoting you.
Gross.
All right, last one. Suspect on the run after apparent road rage axe attack, caught on camera. It wasn't
road
accident.
Rage axe attack, like, yes. The body spray.
Police, no, like an actual axe.
Oh.
Police are searching for a man who was seen on video attacking a car with an axe following a collision in Memphis. In the video, the suspect can be seen striking the side of the vehicle twice before stepping away, appearing to provoke the passenger inside.
It was Thor.
He then takes off his jacket, throws it on the ground, stares at the victim, then grabs his jacket, gets in his car, and drives away. The unknown man is facing charges of aggravated assault.
Yeah.
Are you okay with road rage?
No. Road rage is scary. I've had a gun pointed at me in traffic before.
What?
Oh, yeah. On the bridge. In standstill traffic. Stan Musial Bridge. 8:30 a.m. This was like, 7 years ago or something.
What'd you do?
Since you're in standstill
traffic. To deserve
traffic,
it or after the gun was pointing at me?
Both.
Just sat there. Hoped you didn't shoot me.
Alrighty.
It's scary.
Yeah.
This guy was coming from, my recollection was he didn't have plates. I think it seemed like it may be a stolen vehicle situation that was coming over hot and heavy from Illinois trying to get across the river. And there was some traffic backed up on to get on 70 westbound, I guess it would be, from the Stan Musial Bridge. And I was passing, I don't drive slow. I usually drive mid to upper 70s, and I was passing a semi, and he wanted to go faster than I was passing the semi, and he was tailing me, and then he zoomed around me and like went super fast and then cut me off and like did the brake thing just to be a jerk or whatever. So I backed off as much as I possibly could, tried to get a car in between us so that we would be separate. This is going over the bridge. He got over to the right lane. I was still in the left lane because I was coming downtown, and it just so happened that we ended up on the bridge in backed up traffic, parked next to each other, and he pulled a gun out and pointed at me. So,
holy cow.
Yeah. Like, my ever since then, anytime somebody looks like they're behaving erratically, especially on the highway, but anywhere, I am eyes straight forward, no like dirty looks. Definitely, I'm not a finger flipper offer. No dramatic stares when you're driving past them. That ends really badly. And I mean, road rage is such a real thing. It's something I'm worried about with my son being 15. So we're driving a lot because he's got his permit. I think it'd be really easy to bait a 15-year-old, 16-year-old kid, young teenager into making one stupid decision. And it doesn't even have to be anything you did wrong. Road rage scares me a lot because it's out there. It's out there a lot right now. I'm not okay with it. Anybody else okay with road rage? Ryan?
No, but I'm glad that you said that you were on the bridge, because Ethan's next question would have been, were you over water? Now we know.
Actually, at that portion, I wasn't over water anymore, but I was not off the bridge.
Oh, okay. It
would have been a valid question.
Yeah, still is, for whatever the question is.
You know, Trisha, I think I remember coming to talk to you after that happened years ago, because I kind of like, I had to go to a sales meeting really quick for the radio station in the morning, which is what I was trying to get over here for. And it freaked the heck out of me, and I didn't know what to do. And I remember coming to talk to Trisha and Katie and being like, this happened, and I'm like starting to really wig out about it. This is scary.
It was horrible.
Go vote in the YouTube live chat poll. Are conservatives being too insensitive regarding Doge cuts? You let us know what you think. Annie Fry YouTube channel. We'll be back in a minute.
Follow Annie on X at Annie Fry Show.
Stay on the moon. She listens like spring and she talks like June. Hey, 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 hey. Well, tell me, did you sail across the sun? Did you make it to the Milky Way to see the lights all faded and that heaven is overrated? Tell me, did you fall from a shooting star? One without a permanent scar and
Democrats and White House officials about it. But Alex Thompson of Axios and I have spent the last several months talking to more than 200 insiders and officials and donors and activists more willing to talk post-election, of course, to explain the last couple of years in politics and how we as a nation got here. With never before heard stories from behind the scenes, you will not believe what was really going on. You can pre-order the book at originalsinbook.com. originalsinbook.com.
The one thing that Jake Tapper is going to repeat on his show is the name of his new book that is going to expose what was going on in the Joe Biden White House. You won't believe the kind of things that people are saying right now about what actually took place with the cover-up of Joe Biden's administration. No, you know, it really kind of feels to me, Jake Tapper, like if anybody is going to be shocked, that it might actually, in fact, be you. Let's just go into the, can you do the Wayne's World? Can we just go in the Wayback Machine? There you go. Here we go.
You guys talked about the Russia hoax nonstop.
The FBI was investigating so we recovered them.
And so you took the words of unnamed FBI agents and put them on your network as if they were the gospel truth. You did it again and again. A viewer of your network would have believed that Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin conspired in 2016.
No.
That was totally and preposterously false.
No.
Well, that's
what you just said
why.
Is false.
President Trump has gone to, quote, extraordinary lengths to keep specifics about his meetings with Russian President Vladimir Putin secret, even keeping them from top members of his own administration.
Mm.
Take a listen to how President Trump responded Saturday night when asked directly if he has ever worked for Russia.
I think it's the most insulting thing I've ever been asked. I think it's the most insulting article I've ever had written.
The president did not directly answer the question. It's a stunning turn of events. Do you think the president of the United States ever worked on behalf of the Russians against American interests?
Well, Jake Tapper, you nerd. I'm so entertained by what we've been saying for so long regarding the Joe Biden White House while Joe Biden was in the White House or wherever he was vacationing 40% of the time. Who's going to write the book? Who's going to do the tell-all? Who's going to go behind the scenes and reveal the real things that were taking place that will have us all shock and awe that this was the president of the United States? Jake Tapper spends years creating and following bologna sausage headlines to then all of a sudden be like, oh, I don't know what you're talking about. I mean, it's pretty clear. We've been very focused on reporting the news to you and bringing you the real information as it happens. No, you bring us the real information when you can make money off of a book about it. J.D. Vance sitting there in an interview with him, calling him out on things that he did and said and pushed regarding the Russia hoax. And J.D., I mean, Jake Tapper, when he's sitting there, you can tell he's got his mind made up. No, we didn't do that. We didn't do that. And then it's like, okay. Go to the cut. And then you play the clip of where he was absolutely doing that. Jake Tapper is now going to come tell us that Joe Biden wasn't in his right mind in a book that he can make money off of? Hilarious. I hope it's a good book.
What's his book called? How I Did It?
If I Did It.
If I did it. Is that what it was? I couldn't remember.
I think that's OJ's book.
He only said the title four times.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this guy, Jake Tapper, is he gonna be able to continue on in his CNN ways? Because obviously the landscape is shifting on the left leaning media thing. I still see people who suggest that CNN is a source of news. It's a source of news to them. They're the last ones to know, and now they're gonna be like, I don't think Joe Biden was calling the shots.
Oh man, wouldn't that be amazing? They went, oh man, this really opened my eyes up. You know what, though? I'm going to take it a step further and say that this actually keeps his job. This is the kind of thing that he can say, look, I'm just being fair and balanced here. I'm doing both sides.
Fairly unbalanced.
I actually think he will gain job security from doing this book.
That frustrates me.
It's this book is going to be everything that he sat on over the past 4 years and wouldn't report on.
He always looks like he's disappointed. Do you know what I'm saying? Like every time you see him, he looks like that.
Maybe.
Like
he
I
needs
think,
to look in the mirror.
I think you could do better.
Yeah, he's got. You're right. In that J.D. Vance clip, he had already decided, well, this man is not worthy of whatever he's about to say. He's just going to be fighting me anyway.
You have to discount the pushback from the very beginning. Otherwise, the House of Cards falls. Because Jake Tapper and CNN, the ones who were supposed to be the news, MSNBC, they don't even pretend. CNN, who was it recently that was like, this is CNN? Was it Anderson Cooper? He said something to like one of these mid-level popularity congressmen. What's the Thomas Massey? I got to go back and find that clip. He's like, this is CNN. They're like, yeah, CNN. Then they just ripped him to pieces to their face.
Yes, I do remember.
I can't remember who it was. But I mean, we don't take these people seriously anymore. And now they're like, we should make money off of this. Let's just tell people what's really been happening. Our listeners who haven't known this for so long because they've been watching our shows on CNN.
It's frustrating.
Ethan?
292 votes on today's YouTube live chat poll are conservatives being too insensitive regarding Doge cuts. 73% say no, 27% say yes.
You heartless individuals. We all kind of said no, too. Did you have a thought on this one, Ethan?
I'm with you guys. No. I mean, it sucks for the people that are getting cut, but, you know, we're the ones that are paying taxes on it, so.
Don't be a jerk about it, but continue on. All right, stick around here. Mark Reardon next, and we'll see. Maybe those Epstein files will come out. 97.1 will be here to cover it. Don't go away.